Let's pray together.
Lord, we just know that you sent your Son to save us from all things, from the world, from the devil, from our sin, and probably most important, you came to save us from ourselves. You went to a lot of trouble so that we could relax and rest and laugh and enjoy, and knowing that you are God and we are not. And the only God that is shined upon us through Christ Jesus. So bless us in the next few moments, we ask in your holy name. Amen. Amen. A lot of talk in these passages about money. And money. Is money the root of all evil? No. Money is neither here nor there. Paul says in 1 Timothy that it's the love of, the desire of money. The way the scripture speaks of possessions, of fame, of fortune, is that they're fine. But they can easily sprout wings and fly away. It's good to have abundance. It's not so good when abundance has you. You think about boats. I've not been on boats very much, but I remember seeing the Queen Anne, Queen Mary, Queen someone in port in San Diego, and it was a big boat they restored. But it always has impressed me that big boats are set into the ocean, and if the big boat gets in trouble, what do the passengers do? Well, pray. After they pray, what do? They get out of the big boat and get into little boats. So I guess I take from that, it doesn't matter the size of the boat you have in the ocean. What matters is how much the ocean gets into your boat. Follow that? And I would say that what Jesus is saying right after his discussion with the rich young ruler, it doesn't matter the size of your boat, but don't let your boat, don't let the ocean get into you. Another way you could say it is it doesn't really matter how much you have, it matters how much has you. What level of apathy do we have? I'm going to suggest that every relation and every possession, which are being spoken here, relationships and possessions, they all come with attachments. Now, that's not bad. It's just matter of fact. It's just truthful. But you're foolish if you don't understand the attachments that come with relations and possessions. Like, can I ask you, how many would like a new puppy? You understand? Every relation and every possession comes with attachments. It's not bad, it's just the way it is. How many of you would like to get married? It comes with attachments. Every job, every car, everything you own, every title you take, it comes with attachments. Now, you don't want to be totally detached. But what Jesus is saying here is there's a cost to this detachment. And the two costs, he says, are temporal relations and temporal possessions. Look in verse 29 of Mark 10. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house, or brother, or sisters, or mother, or fathers, or children, or lands, for my sake in the gospel. They truly is a detachment. But I think it's somewhat fitting of Peter, the way he could be put his foot in his mouth and just speak before he thinks. Look what followed, or what preceded Jesus saying that in verse 28. Peter began to say to him, "We have left everything and followed you." What did he leave? He was a fisherman with one boat and a net that he had to keep repairing. I mean, what did Peter give up? And I ask you, I've heard people sometimes stand and give their testimony, and they talk about all they've given up to the Lord. What has it cost you to follow the Lord? What did I give up? We have this way of making it seem that in the relationship, this marriage between God and I, we sacrificed. The truth of the matter is, He did the sacrificing. The truth of the matter is, He did the giving up. Peter just didn't know what to say, so he said, "Lord, we've given everything to you." And Jesus replied, "Your cost of detachment is no cost at all. All you're doing is releasing those things that don't satisfy." We make idols. We make idols of our relationships. They've done some good, but I don't like the name of the organization. Been around a long time. Focus on the family. They've done some good. Hear me right. Not opposed to them. But that's a terrible name. I think Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Focus on Him, and all these things will take care of. Can you make an idol of your family relations? Do you know anyone that makes an idol? Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring us a sword." But we also make idols out of things. We can focus on items. And we can put a price on things. We can put a sign of value on things. How much is an automobile worth? Well, I don't know technically, you could ask Webb, but really, does it matter if you drive a Pinto over a Lamborghini? Now, I'd rather drive a Lamborghini. I'd rather be seen in a Lamborghini. There's nothing wrong with a Lamborghini, and if anyone would like to donate one to the Well Church, we will give you a suitable tax deduction. But it's like the size of the boat in the sea. What matters is you don't let it get into you. Because the danger, Jesus knows, if my identity is formed because I drive a Lamborghini, what happens when I lose the Lamborghini? You follow that? And what Jesus is saying is, you think you're giving up stuff. You're really not. You're just releasing things that aren't worthy of your focus. They're good. Wealth is good. Possessions are good. Family's good. But none of those things are worthy of your possession. See, we talked in Sunday school about, we talk about the price of things. How much did it cost you? We assess a temporary value on things. How come a 1965 Ford Mustang is worth more than a 1965 Dodge 440? Who decided that? See, the value we put on things don't reflect eternal truths. And therefore, to center our lives around them is setting us up for a fall, because it can change. It can vary. Rather, Jesus said, let go of all those things that have no value and focus on those things that are priceless. In other words, this passage is just about the first commandment. There is no other God but me. And we talk about that that will not only be rewarded here, but in the age to come. We have eternal relations. We have an Our Father that we pray to. You and I are siblings. Several of you have said back to me, and you're exactly right, when I call you brother and sister, I'm not just using another way of saying ladies and gentlemen. We are one. Not a good theological truth, though it is. It's a reality. And guess what? You'll never be away from me. And I'll never be away from you. We are members of one body. You are closer to me than my hand is. Do you understand that? I can cut my hand off. I can't cut you off. We are one. You're closer to me than the car I drive. Because one day, they're going to pry that old Chevy truck out of my cold, dead hands. But we're going to be together in eternity. You're closer to me than biological family. Because in heaven, there is no marriage and giving in marriage. I will relate to my mother Carol in heaven, not because she's my mother, but I'll relate to her because she's my sister in Christ. Do you understand? That doesn't change. So for me to let go of that which I'm going to lose, to grab onto that which I can't lose, it's foolish not to. See, the eternal possession we get is eternal life. He follows that at the end of verse 30. And in the age to come, eternal life. A new city. Now, it's not easy to let things go. And that's why he says, when you leave, verse 30, possessions and time, verse 30, and houses and brothers and sisters, mothers and children, with persecution. Why did he add that? Because people don't like being second. I want to be first in your life. I'm not going to like it if you say, no, you're not first in my life, Jesus Christ is. So he understands that if you take and focus and fixate on Jesus Christ and him alone, not everybody's going to applaud that. Who is the most God-focused person that ever drew breath? The right answer in church is always Jesus Christ. And what did they do to him? They hated him. He wouldn't play ball according to their standards because he was focused on only doing his Father's will. That's all he did. And he wound up on a cross, despised by all. And he said, they'll hate you because they hated me. But you're making a better choice because the applause of the crowd, the approval of your family, the wonders of your possession will all fall by the wayside. But I will be with you forever. Paul ends by saying in 2 Corinthians 4, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For everything which you see is temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we've got it backwards, don't we? We think it's real because we see it. God would say it's real when you don't see it. Let me tell you how this provides a lot of comfort. It gives you the freedom to drive the Lamborghini and know that even if you lose it, you're bigger than the Lamborghini. You're bigger than a job. So if you lose a job, that didn't define you. God will open another one up. And how it helps those of us who grieve, if you'll allow me to be very personal. You know, this year was marked by me losing my father. And it's been a very difficult path. I, as a pastor, shortchanged all the people I knew that lost parents, because even though I tried to be there for them when they lost a parent, I had no earthly idea how much it really did hurt. But I've learned that. And you may think the way I think about it is cold, but it's so comforting to me. The comfort I have is knowing, would you rather lose a father that's temporal and best, but know that you have a brother in Christ that will be with you for all eternity? See, what defines us are not our possessions, not our relationships, but the fact that we are all one in Christ. We can't lose that. And that's what gives us joy. And that's what gives us peace. And that's what blesses us. Amen.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Thanks and praise belong to you, Lord God, now and forever. Because when you laid the foundation of the earth, the morning stars sang together, and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy. You called your chosen people to be a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. And to Jesus you said, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." Although he was your son, he learned obedience through what he suffered on the cross. And having been made perfect, he became, through the resurrection, the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And so with all the company of heaven, we sing your song of glory.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Humble God, in Christ you were great among us by being our servant. And you were first among us by becoming a slave of all. You invite us to your table and you serve us as your guest. We rejoice to be here, because in Jesus you gave us your life as a ransom for many. Send your Holy Spirit upon us as we sit at your right and left hand, sharing the cup that you drink. By that same Spirit, sanctify these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
Our God and King, in the power of your Holy Spirit, visit all who live under tyranny today. Lift up the hearts of your children who languish with loud cries and tears. Deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward, since in Christ you took on the mantle of our weakness. Inspire your church to become the high priest of all creation, and make your people perfect through obedience. Hasten the day when heaven comes to earth and the world is full of your glory. Ever one God, gracious Father, servant Son, gentle Spirit, Trinity of mercy and love.
Amen.
People of God, the Lamb of God, your true obedience, your eternal security, your forgiveness of sins.